Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton, and this is the California Report. Let's start with the big news this morning. Uber co-founder Travis Kalanick is stepping down as CEO from the company. This comes after Uber investors pressured Kalanick to resign. The popular ride-hailing company has been embroiled in several controversies, including sexual harassment cases and allegations of stealing trade secrets. In a statement, Kalanick says his resignation would help Uber go back to building rather than being distracted with another fight. In the budget sitting on the governor's desk, there's $15 million for a legal defense of immigrants in deportation proceedings. And lawmakers in the Bay Area, Sacramento, and L.A. have created legal defense funds of their own. Immigrant advocates have been pushing for Fresno to follow suit. KQED's Central Valley reporter Vanessa Roncagno says yesterday, Fresno City Council finally put the idea to a vote.
Councilmember Esmeralda Soria's proposal called for the city to contribute $200,000 to a public-private fund.
This motion was made because there is a tremendous need in our community.
At yesterday's budget hearing, Soria reminded the council that while in criminal court people have a right to free legal counsel, in immigration court, people don't. Councilmember Gary Bredefeld wasn't moved.
I'm not going to support this. I will never support this. And we need to follow our laws and use our city money for public safety and city services.
Please cast your votes. This motion fails. 4 no, 2 yes, with 1 abstention.
After the vote, a crowd of frustrated community members gathered outside the council chamber. Sukaina Hussein is an organizer with Faith in the Valley, the group leading the push for the Legal Defense Fund.
Being here, even though we lost, was really powerful.
And Hussein says they'll move forward anyway. The Latino Community Foundation already donated $10,000. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno in Fresno.
7 months after Californians voted to legalize and tax recreational marijuana, state leaders are moving full speed ahead with a system to oversee the cultivation, distribution, and sales of cannabis. Marisa Lagos from KQED's California Politics and Government Desk reports that some key details were included in last week's state budget deal.
California will have a single set of cannabis laws aimed at ensuring pot is safe to buy and consume under a budget bill sent to Governor Jerry Brown last week. The bill fleshes out details of that system, which are required to be in place by January under the ballot measure that legalized marijuana. North Coast State Senator Mike McGuire says the bill will protect California watersheds and forests from negative impacts of pot farming and give small growers a path forward.
I was very concerned that small family farmers, particularly in Northern California, we're going to be pushed out of the market from what many call the Walmarts of weed.
It will protect those small farms by letting them join cooperatives and make it easier for niche growers to set themselves apart by requiring truth in labeling, setting out organic standards, and creating cannabis appellations, like wine. Still unclear, says McGuire, when the state will be ready to collect taxes from cannabis businesses. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
If you ask any gardener, they can tell you nothing tastes so sweet as something you grew yourself, even in the big city. Urban farmers got a big boost when a state law made it easier for urban landowners to loan out their properties for agriculture. But the concept is taking more time than anticipated to take root, and a new law to extend the program is working its way through the legislature, as KQED's Rachel Miro explains from San Jose.
Before Silicon Valley was paved over with concrete, it was the Valley of Heart's Delight, boasting some of the world's richest topsoil. So there's poetic irony in the fact some techies can't wait to get their hands in that soil.
It's just soothing. It's healing.
PayPal cloud manager Anand Kumar bought a home in San Jose in 2000. He tore out the grass straight away and planted a garden.
I started out with what was easy: pumpkins, squashes, zucchinis, tomatoes, chili peppers.
Bitter melons, a taste of his home country, India, are coming soon.
You kind of saute them with a little bit of onions, maybe add a little bit of mango powder. You got to try it.
Kumar's keen to spread the good word about gardening. Along with several PayPal colleagues, he volunteered to build a greenhouse for a San Jose nonprofit called Valley Verde, which helps low-income families grow their food, too. On a recent sunny day, the group celebrated the greenhouse's grand opening in San Jose's first urban agriculture incentive zone. What was a used car lot is now covered with raised planting beds and stacks of bagged soil.
It looks amazing. I think we need more of this in the city.
There are workshops for beginners and seedlings to replant back home. Property owner Thang Do says he does intend to develop eventually, but in the meantime, he's game to lend the land to gardeners.
I mean, what's not to like about this?
Well,
the city and the county take a hit on something like this because they're giving landowners like me a property tax break.
State law changed in 2014 to incentivize landowners like Doe by assessing the property value as relatively cheap farmland, not pricey downtown lots. But it's taken years to get counties and cities to make the necessary local rule changes.
It's frustrating how long something like this takes because it seems like it's a no-brainer. It seems like you can just make it happen, but government is government.
Is it worth the bother? Yes, says Tori Trushite, an organizer with La Mesa Verde, a network of home gardeners working in tandem with Valley Verde.
Not only are they going to have beautiful organic fruits and vegetables, but they're going to be connected to other people who care about where their food comes from.
So far, only four cities have the zones: San Jose, San Francisco, Sacramento, and San Diego. And that state law expires in 2019. But urban farmers have their eye on a bill that would extend the program for another decade, hoping it makes its way to the governor's desk before harvest time in October. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro in San Jose.
Support for the California Report comes from Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, June 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton.